This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump and the First Lady being welcomed at Windsor Castle. That's the music for President Trump's second state visit. ABC's Mary Bruce, also in Windsor.
President Trump was here for an official state visit back in 2019, but it is an incredibly rare honor to have a second official visit like this, something not seen in modern times. But the UK, well aware that President Trump greatly enjoys and values these kinds of displays and that they can be a potent diplomatic tool.
Right now, they're in a carriage procession through Windsor. The 22-year-old man charged with murdering Charlie Kirk in court for the first time yesterday, Tyler Robinson, said to have been texting his roommate with whom he was involved romantically just after the fatal shooting. Israeli troops continue pushing deeper into Gaza City, marking the second day of ground offensives there. Hundreds of thousands of civilians are still in Gaza City amid famine and buildings in rubble. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Community Players of Southwestern Wisconsin will be presenting Pride and Prejudice this fall. Pride and Prejudice is one of the best-known romances in English literature. Written by Jane Austen when she was only 21, it was first published 17 years later in 1813. The main plot recounts the relationship between the witty and independent Lizzie Bennet and the proud but socially awkward Mr. Darcy. After getting off on the wrong foot at their first meeting due to his pride, Lizzie takes an instant dislike to him, her prejudice. As events unfold with the other characters, Lizzie is able to reassess her opinion of Mr. Darcy and see that she was too hasty in her appraisal of his character. The cast includes Emily Zarea as Elizabeth Bennet, Callie Zenzig as Jane Bennet, Ashley Fogle as Mary Bennet, Maddie Kratzenberg as Kitty Bennet, Stella Woodhouse as Lydia Bennet, David Tim as Mr. Bennet, Summer Rowe as Mrs. Bennet, Matt Rowe as Mr. Darcy, Allison Adams as Georgiana Darcy, Elis Staffsleen as Lady Anne and Louisa Hurst, Jen Horton as Caroline Bingley, Alicia Woodhouse as Mrs. Gardner, Cameron Cormacan as William Lucas and Mr. Gardner, Faith Morga as Charlotte Lucas, Kevin Riley as Mr. Collins, Joanne Tesser as Mrs. Reynolds, Sharon Zales as Catherine DeBorg, and Mrs. Reynolds and Jean Burkett as Catherine DeBorg. Pride and Prejudice will be presented Friday and Saturday, October 10th and 11th, and 17th and 18th at 7, with Sunday matinees at 2 on October 12th and 19th. Tickets will be $15 for adults and $10 for children. All shows will be at the Richland Center City Auditorium. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The magic number is 7. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers host the LA Angels again tonight. Last night, the crew with a 9-2 win. Christian Yelich, a 2-run homer in the 4th. Now, 7 is the Brewers' magic number to clinch the division, but Yelich says it's still too early for all that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to focus on winning that night, like not even thinking about like the magic number. We need to just keep stacking wins and playing good baseball, and that'll take care of itself. You can't do that in one night. And you start looking ahead, then things get away from you a little bit.
College football, the Badgers getting ready to host Maryland Saturday at Camp Randall, kickoff 11 a.m. NFL, Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed confirming he's now had surgery to repair his broken collarbone and foot fracture. Meanwhile, Christian Watson says his new contract extension takes some pressure off as he tries to come back from that torn ACL.
For me, I mean, it was really just to, you know, take that pressure off of myself so I can kind of just go out there when I get back and just play free.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 87 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop it down to the low 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, another sunny, warm day with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and Appleton native son, actor Mike McGill, whose credits include Shameless and Bosch, and syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on this September 17th, Wednesday morning, September 17. Keep that number 17 in mind as we talk to our next guest, Corrine Hendrickson, about the 17th State Senate District. Details to come right after Brittany's weather. And then in our next hour at 8:35, we will be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong, who announced this morning that she, too, will be running for Wisconsin governor next year. So we have a gubernatorial candidate coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. And that's not all. There's also tomorrow we'll be talking with former Racine Alderman Trevor Young, who has just announced his candidacy for the state Senate in the 21st district, the seat held since 2010, I believe, by Republican Van Wongard. So a lot to cover this week with the change of seasons, not just, you know, back to school, not just fall, campaign season as well. But let's get to the fall part of the season with meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who joins us, along with Parker Olson, who's producing things down at Madison Studio A2. And I did not realize, because it's dark at the start of the show here, so the show is well underway for me to notice it is really foggy up here on Lake Wissota this morning. Is that something we're seeing all over the place?
Yeah, definitely up north right now, dense fog from Eau Claire through Hayward into Ashland and Superior. That's going to be here for about another hour or two. Temperatures, too, right now in the mid-50s to mid-60s across the state. We're also seeing a few thunderstorms starting right now, pretty much from Amory through Rice Lake, and that could extend towards the Minocqua area, too. We have a front just sitting here over the northern part of the state this morning. So that's kind of the case as we go through the next day. This front is going to slowly make its way south through the state, and then the system, the low pressure itself, will eventually move into the state for the weekend. So yes, wet weather ahead and cooler temperatures, too. But not today. We're still looking very warm across the state, low to mid-80s everywhere. Some of us will be nearing 90 once again. It will be a sunny day, especially south into Madison and Milwaukee. Clouds will be increasing, though, west and north throughout the afternoon. Drizzle is possible far southwest midday. And then we're looking at more small storms sparking up again this evening, especially northeast in our state. And then tomorrow, cooler, slightly cooler, especially north, only mid-60s up north. 80s will still be felt down south tomorrow. Scattered spotty showers are expected kind of statewide, very isolated, very brief and small. But chances for sunshine still hang on into Madison and Milwaukee until the weekend. That's when that low pressure system arrives. So heavier rain and storms on the way.
Conceivably, today and tomorrow could mark the last of the mid-80s.
It could.
Unless we get a nice little warm spell in October, which does happen, by the way.
It does. In November, it's happened. So.
Yes. Okay. So shut up, Pat. Don't get ahead of yourself here. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. Partly cloudy and 59 degrees. It felt a lot like mid-July rather than mid-September. Yesterday was busy mowing lawns in Wittenberg. To me, this is the first that has been actually dry, a lot of dry grass that's drying out for the first time since spring. Today, he's got a mowing job in rural Tigerton, a doctor's appointment in Shawano, and he writes, no fog in the Tigerton area. Tony writes that these 80-degree days have been killing me. It's so hot, and I refuse to turn on my air conditioner. You live on Lake Superior. You have the world's greatest air conditioner up there, Tony. The Tony also adds, it was so foggy, I could barely see the turkeys crossing the road. Unacceptable. You got to be able to see the turkeys when
Seriously,
they're heading across.
And the deer up there.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, so that's from Tony and that's from Rob. And we'll have more from Brittany coming up in 1 hour. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Also a note up here from our friends at Motherhood for Good who are saying good morning. I sense they maybe want to hear more from one of our next guests coming up. This is a candidate announcement kind of day, candidate announcement kind of week. You had State Senator Kelda Royce getting into the race for governor a couple days ago. I just mentioned State Representative Francesca Hong also joining the governor's race. There are state Senate candidates, one I just told you about in the Racine area, and now one potentially in the Nuclearis area, as we welcome in Corrine Hendrickson to tell us what she's going to be up to later today, former child care provider in the Nuclearis area. Corrine, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's still really weird to hear former in front of that.
I completely, it's weird for me to say it, and it's not something we necessarily like to dwell on, but the thing that's prompting, you know, your change in what you do on a day-to-day basis is rooted in a Wisconsin legislative leadership team that did not ever seem to take everything that you said seriously about just how serious childcare and other issues are for Wisconsin families. And so consequently, what's that meant for you? What is it that you plan to be doing throughout the day today?
So it means that I guess I have to do it myself.
There you go.
So I am officially running for State Senate District 17. That is the southwestern part of Wisconsin, which we have some really good progressive Democratic roots, and we just need to get back to them. And a lot of it comes down to the lack of affordability in our daily lives, whether it's groceries, child care, our property taxes continuing to increase because our state refuses to invest in our public schools appropriately and instead is cutting taxes for the wealthy and to keep the powerful in power. So at 10:30 this morning, I will be launching at the Nuclearis Village Park. Super excited because in Nuclearis, it's a tradition to have elk horns and there will be elk horns there as well. So I'm hoping that lots of people will join me and support me in my newest adventure.
Those are those big Swiss horns, like everybody's going to get a Ricola lozenge or something at this point.
Maybe that should be my thing.
There you go. Instead of tossing candy at parades, you're tossing cough drops. It could be whatever works for you. Now let's take care of the elephant in the room, or shall we say the donkey, because we're going to be talking about primaries, and that 2026 is probably going to be a year unlike any other in terms of primaries. You've got an open governor's seat, an open lieutenant governor's seat, an open secretary of state seat, and you've already got three Democratic candidates announced in the third congressional district, and now you have in these state Senate districts, at least three different state Senate districts now, there will be primaries as well, and that includes in your district where Representative Jenna Jacobson has also already announced. In this case, let's just bring it down to this particular example in the 17th Senate District, there is a motivator for multiple Democrats to want to run, and that's because the Republican incumbent, Howard Markline, chairs the Joint Finance Committee. So, I mean, all the more motivation for Democrats to jump in, right?
Oh, absolutely. I also find it interesting that so far, Senate 17 is all women. Lisa White is also running. And the CD3, which is Van Orden's, is all women too. So I feel like there's a little bit of, women wanting to make sure that we can take care of our families and our communities and stepping up and into this space. I think it's good there's a primary. I think we can, learn from each other. I think the voters have a right to choose because, we fought for gerrymandering. So that's part of why there's so many also interested. This seat is now winnable because the lack of gerrymandering. In our state, we have fair maps. But at the same time, have a robust primary because that's the way for the people to decide who they want on their party ticket, I guess you would say. So I'm looking forward to, getting to know people and proving, that I'm the hardest worker and I'm the best for the position.
The comments are already coming in, including from Tony, that says it seems like a great opportunity for new faces and for new ideas as well. And now, again, I'm not looking to make Senator Howard Markline, you know, the issue is certainly not the centerpiece of your campaign, but the symbolism of a co-chair for joint finance in budgets that cycle after cycle after cycle seem to be out of sync with what he and others are hearing at all those budget public hearings around the state. Again, seems to be rather representative of why anybody is running for legislature around Wisconsin this year.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at the Joint Finance Committee hearings, when you look at the Assembly and Senate hearings in office at the Capitol, they're being told over and over and over again, this is what we want, this is what we need. And then it's they refuse to do it. 2 years ago, when they did the special session for the workforce, you know, they had 200 people send letters, 100 people show up and speak to the fact that they wanted this special session bill to pass. And after the hearing, they put an amendment in and completely gutted the whole thing. And so really, we need people that are not just going to say they're listening and that they understand there's a problem, but that they care enough to do something about it and are willing to go outside of their box that they put themselves into, of their opinions of what's important to, it feels like almost it's what's important to them themselves instead of listening to what their constituents have to say.
Well, I think it's pretty clear talking to Corrine Hendrickson, state Senate candidate in the 17th district, what you're going to be hearing from Republicans and others, because, I mean, we've been hearing this for 15 years or more, and it's going to go something like this. Well, there she goes again. Here's another tax and spend liberal, and she and Tony Evers and everybody else, they just want to tax and they want to spend. And, you know, we're the ones that are holding the line on taxes. We're the ones that are holding the line on spending and being more fiscally responsible. You know, that's what you're going to hear over and over again. So now that I've teed that up, what are you going to tell the voters?
So it's more of an investment. It's more, how do we spend the money that we take in for taxes? Currently, our state budgets have been to the point where they encourage the people who have the wealthy and the most money to keep as much money as possible, to hoard that money. And meanwhile, the rest of us are working as hard as we can. And we're not seeing that money. We were promised with some of these tax credits that job growth would happen, job creation would happen. We don't need to raise the minimum wage because the employers will do it automatically for us. And that's not what we're seeing. What we're seeing is that those tax cuts have actually starved our public schools from the resources that they need. And I'm really worried, and people in my area are really worried about this next year with all the referendums that are likely to come, or, you know, if they don't pass or schools really, you know, don't want to continue to increase property taxes, what are they going to cut? The first thing is music and art and, you know, sports and all, and musicals and all the things that enrich our children's lives and, you know, make them want to go to school as well and just make them more well-rounded individuals, and then allow our communities to have things that we come together over. The musical sells out every year here. I have Elkhorns coming today. If we don't have a music program, there won't be kids who can play those instruments. We won't have the fundraisers at, you know, the festivals, because there will be no music at those, because our state is refusing to invest in cutting it. Same thing. We are have a dire workforce shortage, but we have a huge number of parents of young children who want to work, but they can't because they cannot afford and access childcare. Those of us in the field, those who are remaining in the field of childcare are struggling. Two more just announced their closing that have been open for over 20 years because they can't afford to keep going, because they can't charge parents anymore. They're losing kids. I'm hearing now of kids at 5, 6, and 7 are going home. We're back to the latchkeys of the 1980s, and it's just not safe, and it's scary, and it does not have to be this way. So again, it isn't tax and spend. It's invest our money appropriately so that we recoup those loss, that we recoup that money, and we grow our economy, we grow our communities, and we, you know, have our kids can come back to the small towns that they're vacating right now, because there just isn't anything for them in there.
Yeah, and you've definitely made the link, not just for childcare to then K-12 education, but again, to small businesses. There are all kinds of employers that are practically begging the legislature to do something because they're losing too many good workers to this childcare crisis as well, and they want well-educated workers. So you're going to hear these themes and more from Corrine Hendrickson. Her website is corrineforseventeen.com. Corrine is C-O-R-R-I-N-E. CorrineFor17.com, and on all the social media sites, just put in CorrineFor17 as the handle, and you'll get her on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and more. Corrine, thank you so much for taking time to make your announcement with us this morning. We really appreciate it. Have fun with the horns at the announcement, and we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Pleasure seeing you, and best of luck as you move forward. Again, there are going to be primaries in several races here, so really keep that August date in mind if you plan to vote Republican or Democrat and get to know the candidates in your local community. We'll have our homeroom segment coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this non-stop overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What's up?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely. But bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
In the studio to talk to us, we have Dante Kleinsasser and Josh Kleinsasser talking about a special event coming up. They were in the studio, well, a little while back, and talking about a special function and organization. Josh, we'll start with you. Tell me about your organization and what you've titled it.
The title of my organization is the Joshua Kleinsasser Foundation, and what we're putting together on October 11th is a charity basketball tournament to give back to people in the community that went through something similar that I did. Going back to the first time I was on Phil Nee's show was the bone marrow transplant that I went through a few years back, where the community really rallied around me. I talked about, and it was huge to see the community and the church churches around rally around me, businesses, people, everything just kind of rallied around me. So what I'm trying to do now is gather the community again, but just to give back to other people who may be going through similar things that I am. The specifics of the tournament are, it's a 5v5 basketball tournament being held at Richland Center High School on October 11th, starting at 10 a.m. All applicants are accepted for sponsorships. That would be $300 a team. We would like to see businesses sponsor teams, because I know it might be more difficult for individuals to come up with that amount of money themselves, but you can also sponsor a team as an individual as well if you would like to. And we aim to just have a good day of fun and community and just bring the community together a little bit more and raise a little bit of money for other people going through similar things. We're going to have homemade pulled pork sandwiches, concessions, all the works, and a silent auction as well, as well as smaller games for smaller kids that wouldn't be able to participate in the actual tournament.
Dante, could some old guy like me enter a team, or what is the age category for this?
There is no age category. It is like both genders can also enter a team. So if you wanted, there's women's and men's. There's no like specific age or gender or anything like that. It's just open to whoever. And also, I'd like to touch on, you talked about businesses. If you do sponsor a team, you do get your name on a banner and the shirts. So people know like your business donated, but it's not just like donate just to help us out, but it's to help like the actual community.
Mm-hmm. So you're sponsoring the shirt, you're sponsoring a team, or if a team got in, each individual could contribute too, correct?
Yeah, if you wanted to make your own team, you could contribute, but it's just nicer to have like the business sponsor, because then we can just find the team. If they need a team, if they can't find a team, we just find one, make them a team, that business sponsors this team, and then boom, the team's done.
So you're going to be playing kind of a round-robin tournament that day, or how does it work?
So it's a double elimination. So the first time you lose, you're not completely out, because we have a loser's bracket. And what's the best you can get out of that, like third?
I believe something.
I think third is the best you can get if you win out the loser's bracket. And there is, it's 1 through 3, there are, like, prizes for money. What is it? It's, for first, it's, like, 600.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then 300, and then 150.
Yeah.
Is what it is for all three places. Yeah, there's prize money as well. But the main objective of the day is to raise the money for the people in the community.
You've done this before. I mean, you've done some other fundraisers. Are there some examples of some things that you've given money or helped support?
This actually is our first one. We had a fundraiser for me in the past when I was going through my bone marrow transplant, and that was more of just a huge silent auction, and that went to help me. But I have not this is the first one I have put on personally to try to help other people.
A chance to give back then.
Yeah, exactly. I really just aim, my goal is to just, again, bring the community together and help give back to other people that are struggling as well. I saw how hard it was for me and my family when I was going through it, and my goal is to make it a little bit easier for those people as well.
You went through some scary stuff. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so going back to the first time I was on here, it was a situation where kind of out of the blue, my bone marrow had failed, which stopped the production of my red, white blood cells along with my platelets. And it brought me to the point where if I didn't get a transplant, I would have passed away. So it was a very scary situation. A lot of other things mixed in there, some staph infections and whatnot. And ended up being, I think, a 2-month stay in the actual hospital and a little bit over a month stay in the adjacent building to the hospital. It wasn't technically, but I was still on campus of the hospital there for at least another month or so. So around 3 or 4 months, give or take, that I was actually in the hospital trying to recover from this until I was given the okay to come home. It was a very scary situation. I know for me it was, being that close to death, but also to my parents who were there every single day with me. It was very scary for them too, seeing that their kid, their child, they're 16 and turned 17 and pretty much in the hospital around that time. That might pass away before them, but obviously I'm here now thanks to the grace of God. And yeah, it was a very scary situation, but we're on the other side of it now. We're moving forward.
You got a lot of support from your church family, didn't you, Dante?
Yeah, through like the church especially. Obviously the community gave a lot, but the church like just went like over, I wouldn't say overboard. They just went like
above and beyond, I would say.
Above and beyond, that's what I was trying to pull out. But yeah, they just went like above and beyond in every situation. So much money was given, a lot of support, just a lot of prayers especially.
It food.
A lot of food.
Yeah, prayer, just like being coming together with my parents and just like helping them with whatever they needed. It was really amazing to see that. Yeah.
What's the name of your church?
Grace Life Church of Richland Center.
And you guys are both pretty active in the church, aren't you?
Yes. Yes. We go, well, obviously we attend obviously every Sunday, Wednesday. And then also me and Dante both do a Bible study every Saturday as well.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henry.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Commodity prices do not look like they are getting very bullish anytime soon. That means you need to have a strategy for the crop standing in the field. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is making some suggestions on what you can do to make sure the farm cash flows at least through the harvest. Those suggestions coming up.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
What is the Dairyland seed difference? The answer is found in our difference makers. Our seeds are developed and delivered for unrivaled performance in and only in the Upper Midwest. Our local dealers, expert agronomists, and everyone throughout our organization who live to make life better on farms and in the community. It's our people, products, and pedigree that combine to make a true difference that you can see on the bottom line and feel in your heart. Learn more about our difference makers at DairylandSeedDifference.com.
Cash flowing the farm through the harvest season. That's one of the goals that John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is suggesting. And he said you may need to use multiple tools to do that.
This market is going to have a lot of potential volatility in it, especially because of, you know, at least where the corn demand is. So there's some things that we've been talking to producers about. Again, we want to keep things fixed. We want to minimize the risk in terms of margins and things of that nature. A call is a one-time cost. Pay for it. You got the position working and just let it work. Whether you use somebody like myself or even talk to your elevator about it, those opportunities are out there that you can keep some ownership over this crop into the spring.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He says have those conversation with your elevators or your crop advisor right away and try to capitalize on any ups that might develop. Not many ups this morning in Chicago. Right now, December corn is down a half, 429. November soybeans are down 6, 1044. The wheat for July of next year, down 2, 571. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese remained unchanged, 161 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese did gain a penny, 162 and three quarters. Double A butter down another nickel, 177 a pound. And the October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 6 right now, 1659 a hundredweight. That's just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Wednesday trade session. More available now, MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 87 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop it down to the low 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, another sunny, warm day with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 63.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Matinee on Air.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping in
chess. Listen to you laugh.
Matinee on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. The deadline clock is ticking in Washington, D.C. on a spending bill while we have a government shutdown. We'll discuss it with Pat Kreitlow of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4.
Boy, there's a lot going on today. 7:35. Welcome back. It's a Wednesday morning, September 17th. We just heard from Corrine Hendrickson announcing her candidacy for state Senate. 1 hour from now, we will be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong all about her run for Wisconsin governor, joining a growing field there. Tomorrow, we'll be talking to Trevor Young, who is a former Racine Alder who has just announced he's running for state Senate in the 21st District over in the Racine area. And if you can't catch all this live on the radio from 6 until 9, or social media, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, then you really ought to get this show by podcast so you can dip in and hear some of the highlights. So head over to Spotify. Sign up to follow the show or Apple, wherever you get your podcast, and never miss a moment of what we do. You can also get connected to all this through the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. All right, welcome to our homeroom segment that we do every week at this time. Talk a bit about public education in Wisconsin and the things that impact it. A lot of those things come from the state capitol, and not just the state budget, which is all done now, but certainly all the other ways where lawmakers can introduce bills that are helpful or even harmful, as the case may be, depending on, you know, what people in the Assembly and Senate think of our public school system and what ought to be done with it. Somebody's got to track all these things. And for the Wisconsin Public Education Network, that would include our friend Bryn Horton, who joins us for a little update. Bryn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thanks. Nice to have you along.
Yeah.
There's just always so much beyond the budget that could get done for our schools or to our schools, yes, as the case may be. So right now, the fall legislative session is just getting going. We never really know just how busy or not busy they'll be at any given point. So there are bills that are introduced. Some may get a committee hearing. Some may go to the floor of the Assembly or Senate. Some may just be introduced and not come up at all. But you have to note that they've been introduced because, you know, these are things that conceivably could happen. So as you're looking beyond the state budget at what the legislature could be considering this fall, what kinds of things are you keeping your eye on?
Yeah, so I think the main thing that we're keeping an eye on, which I feel like the fall is always a time of hurried introduction of bills because they haven't really done much since the budget passed. But both sides of the assembly introduced, well, they haven't been formally introduced yet, but gave press conferences on packages of education bills that they're planning to introduce to the legislature soon. I would imagine they're getting co-sponsored. And so it's interesting to see the play between both of those sets of packages.
Do you want to run through like the highlights of each package, the Republican package and the Democratic package?
Yeah, and this is fully going off of the press conference, sure. Press conferences that I've listened to because I haven't seen the bill texts of them yet. But the Democratic side is introducing bills for healthy school meals for all, which has long been a topic that that the Democratic Assembly members have tried to get through in the last couple of sessions. There is a bill about voucher transparency and having the impact of those dollars on tax bills. And then also there is a bill around budget and financing and the things that they're trying to do to to balance out the lack of funding that came in the budget. And then the Republican side, my understanding is there's a bill around math curriculum and changes to math curriculum. I'm sensing that might have some of the same type of connotations that Act 20 did for reading. That's the guess that I'm going from that one. And then a parents' rights bill, which is also a bill that they've tried to get through a couple times in the past. And then also some bill around school discipline and teachers being able to do what they need to do to help with student behavior. Since that seems to be a talking point across the nation of teachers not feeling like they have the ability to do what they need to do to control student behavior.
So those are just some of the things that you might see in the Democratic package of bills, in the Republican package of bills. Looking at some of the things that are on the Wisconsin Education Association Council website and things that they're following, you also see kind of the same, shall we say, division between the two parties, where one is looking to maybe enhance prep time for teachers, while another may be seeking to micromanage prep time for teachers. And as we mentioned with Peggy Wirtz Olson from WEAC a couple of weeks back, I mean, some of these bills, again, they may not go anywhere, but just the introduction of them is noteworthy. For example, restricting the kinds of flags that can be displayed in public buildings like schools and in classrooms. There's always something about, cursive handwriting as well. And then on a slightly broader level, state testing standards. And so I really kind of feel like there's this tug of war, if you will, between micromanaging, our educators and giving them the resources and flexibility to teach our kids.
Yeah, it's, I think, interesting in the cross specs of local control and the way that Wisconsin school districts have been created to give school districts and local school boards local control. And yet they're constantly being given ways that they need to do things, even though that might not be something that works well in their local school district. And so I think that's a constant look, at least, is how are we making sure that school boards are being able to have their local control rights that they were given by the state statutes.
Mm-hmm. We also have, we talked about this recently. It was kind of news to an old guy like me that cell phone bans, I guess I just thought they were there and they're not. And it's become a hot discussion topic again. And I'm sure that I think there's at least one bill dealing with cell phone bans, and there will probably be others that you'll have to track in the Capitol as well.
Yeah. And that's an interesting, because I believe that the cell phone bills tend to have bipartisan support. And what I've heard from that is that because there are a lot of school districts that have their own policies, and what I've heard is that their hope is to, in order to pass a bill like that, that school districts then have the ability to be able to say, oh, see, it's not us. It's the state telling us that we have to do this. So when there's pushback, that they have something to fall back on, which I guess is a nice way of them thinking that that's good, that the state, that we can fall back on the state. But I do think there's still a need of, there's a reason why we have that school districts have local control, because school districts are so very different from each other across the state.
Yeah. We're talking to Bryn Horton, and she follows for the Wisconsin Public Education Network the various bills that get introduced at the state capitol that could have an impact on our schools and on your kids' education. And again, from the Republican side, we see just such a focus on issues that involve such a small percentage of what goes on in society, much less our education. In this case, I'm referring to various gender restrictions on participation in sports and other activities. That's another bill I'm assuming Republicans will try to bring up and push, even though they know that Governor Evers would likely veto anything resembling that.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I do believe that there is a lot of talk about the fact that the Senate might not possibly go into any more floor sessions the rest of this year. Mm-hmm. And so even though, introductions happen, and those bills will definitely get referred to committees and actually have public hearings, which doesn't happen for a lot of bills that could actually fix things or help things in the school districts. It's those dividing bills that get public hearings.
Right. They do. And I'm sure there will be something. There is a bill, of course, to require English only in schools. We talked about the flag display. There's another bill that would require, you know, the national motto, "In God We Trust," to be displayed in all courtrooms. Somebody just asked me yesterday, like, did that law really pass in Texas that requires the Ten Commandments to be displayed in every classroom? I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, that's a thing. And that which means it's going to encourage, you know, some legislator in Wisconsin to try to do the same thing. So you're right. We're going to hear a lot of what you would call what, social issues or wedge bills or anything like that. Those seem the ones that get the public hearings and get some attention.
Yes, absolutely. And there's never any funding attached to those. So, you know, we can display the motto in the schools, but it's going to cost the school districts money to have to do all of that stuff. And so that's the other part of it, too, that comes with is we can give us all these things to do and then don't give any money to be able to accomplish those effects.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about this with Jimmy Kuska a couple of weeks back when we talked about scoreboards and how I did not know that there still wasn't a shot clock for high school basketball. But that's because every school would have to, not every school, but many schools would have to replace their scoreboard. They don't have the money to replace a scoreboard. So if they don't have money to replace a scoreboard, they sure don't have money to be putting up, you know, religious symbols and mottos and things like that in our schools as well. And all of this, Bryn, really comes back to, you know, a central theme of this segment, and that is providing our public schools with the resources they need. That includes the voucher transparency that we've talked about here. And by the way, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, you know, just this week kicked off a public campaign to increase the transparency of the voucher program so that taxpayers know how much it really costs. So head over to wisconsinnetwork.org to learn more. But Bryn, you know, again, it really is what you're hearing from the Democratic side is let's give schools the resources and the tools they need rather than more restrictions.
Yeah, definitely. Ways to be able to find more funding to be able to help close that funding gap that's going to be left with the budget. And the main one that I think that I'm really watching on the Republican side is that there is a bill to get rid of the $325 automatic revenue limit increase that the governor got passed into law through his partial line veto and then was upheld. But there is a bill out there to get rid of that now. And so that's the kind of thing that, you know, the punishment that comes along with being able to get that. Now we need to take that away, even though that's not actually more funding from the state.
Yeah, that's just it. Because of the creative use of the line item veto, you now have this per pupil adjustment locked in for, you know, 300 years or whatever it is. But again, if you're not giving an increase in overall general state aid, you know, it really doesn't mean much. But of course, that's what Republicans are going after. They're going after the line item veto rather than putting a focus on what can we do for our schools? What can we do for our kids? And I guess I'm not confident that a bill that would get rid of the 300-year extension will be accompanied by, okay, we'll do an extension for a couple of years. No, they'll just get rid of it entirely.
Yeah,
we have seen how that goes. There's also bills out there for everything from requiring civics education to tuition and fee remission for veterans and dependents, technical colleges leasing their facilities. There's just so many things that have to be followed in the Capitol, and Bryn Horton does that for the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Bryn, thank you so much for doing all of that and for taking some time to give us a little update this morning.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
All right. Thank you, Bryn. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.
As we mentioned, it is a day of campaign announcements. Corrine Hendrickson announcing her run for state Senate earlier this hour. And then less than an hour from now at 8:35, State Representative Francesca Hong, newly announced candidate for Wisconsin governor, will join us to talk about why she has chosen to run for that office in 2026. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Madison Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce has entered the race for governor, joining a growing field of Democrats that included Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Wisconsin, we are in the fight of our lives, for our democracy and our kids' future. But I've been in this fight before. Now, as extremists attack our freedoms while families struggle to get by, we're fighting back together. No matter who you are or where you're from, you deserve the freedom to thrive right now. The best public schools for every child. Quality, affordable health care for every Wisconsinite. Good jobs that don't just pay the bills, but help you build the future you want. Now, with everything on the line, Wisconsin needs a governor who's been training for this moment her whole career and who knows how to deliver. We can't afford to wait. I'm fighting alongside you for our Wisconsin. And together, we are going to win.
Republican candidates include Washington County Executive Josh Showman and Milwaukee area business owner Bill Berrien. Roy's ran in the 2018 Democratic primary, which was won by Governor Tony Evers. Evers is not seeking a third term. Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety following the assassination of right-wing figure Charlie Kirk. State Senator Howard Markline and Representative Tony Kurtz were on WRCO's morning show with Phil Nee. Kurtz says the rhetoric needs to stop.
What bothers me the most is how people are justifying, people are actually saying he deserved it based on his comments. That to me, in my very humble opinion, is the problem. I would never, ever say something like that and wish that upon somebody. So I think we do need to dial it down and get back to the basics of actually looking somebody in the eye and talking to them and saying, you know what, I disagree with you, but I still respect you.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss remains confident in security arrangements at the Capitol in Madison. Voss noted that Kirk was killed in a public place, and Minnesota state lawmaker Melissa Hortman and her husband were killed in their home. Voss said the reality is that most political violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building. Markline says the Wisconsin state capitol is probably one of the most open state capitals in the country. He added he likes the openness.
This is the people's capital. It's not mine, and it's not Tony Kurtz's. It's the people. So they ought to be able to, you know, come in and stuff.
The Richland Hospital and Clinics is now scheduling appointments for its flu vaccine clinic. The clinic will begin providing vaccinations by appointment only at all locations, including Muscadet Health Center and Spring Green Medical Center. To schedule an appointment, call the Richland Hospital Clinic at 608-647-6321. The Muscadet Health Center at 608-739-3113, or the Spring Green Medical Center at 608-588-7413. Patients who already have a clinic appointment with their primary care provider can receive a vaccine during that appointment. Due to delays at the federal level, the Richland Hospital and Clinics is not yet able to offer the new COVID vaccine. An update will be provided as soon as it becomes available at each of the clinics. Preliminary flood risk information and updated flood insurance rate maps are available for review by residents and business owners in Richland County within the Kickapoo River watershed. Property owners are encouraged to review the latest information to learn about local flood risk and potential future flood insurance requirements. Community stakeholders can identify any concerns or questions about the information provided and participate in the 90-day appeal and comment period. The 90-day appeal period will begin Thursday. The preliminary maps and changes from current maps may be viewed online at the FEMA Flood Map Changes Viewer, msc.fema.gov/FMCV. The updated maps were produced in coordination with local, state, and FEMA officials. Significant community review of the maps has already taken place, but before the maps become final, community stakeholders can identify any concerns or questions about the information provided and submit appeals or comments. Contact your local floodplain administrator to do so. Appeals must include technical information, such as hydraulic or hydrologic data, to support the claim and cannot be based on the effects of proposed projects or projects started after the study is in progress. If property owners see incorrect information that does not change the flood hazard information, such as a missing or misspelled road name in the special flood hazard area or an incorrect corporate boundary, they can submit a written comment. The next step in the mapping process is the resolution of all comments and appeals. Once they are resolved, FEMA will notify communities of the affected date of the final maps. For more information about the flood maps, use a live chat service about flood maps at go.usa.gov/r6c and just click on the live chat icon during operating hours. You can also contact a FEMA map specialist by telephone toll-free at 1-877-FEMA-MAP. That's 1-877-336-2627 or by email at fema-fmix@fema.dhs.gov. The Vernon County Development Department is accepting nominations for the 2025 Vernon County Awards, an annual celebration of the people, businesses, and organizations shaping the community's future while honoring its rich traditions. This year's theme, Legacy Builders, Honoring Tradition, Embracing the Future, reflects how Vernon County's strong history of leaders and bold entrepreneurs continues to shape the future and inspire growth, innovation, collaboration, and community values today. Nominations are open through Friday at noon. Award categories include returning favorites, such as business and event awards, as well as the opportunity to recognize young leaders, volunteers, professionals, and nonprofits that impact the community. A full list of award categories and nomination forms can be found online at vernoncountywi.gov/department/community_development/2025_awards.php. The 2025 Awards Banquet will be held Thursday, November 6th at Venue in the Valley in Coon Valley. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, the President and First Lady in the UK for an unprecedented second state visit. They took a horse-drawn carriage ride around the grounds of Windsor Castle with the King and Queen and the Prince and Princess of Wales. Tomorrow, the President will meet with the Prime Minister on economic issues. The man accused of murdering Charlie Kirk in court on Thursday. With more on what prosecutors said, ABC's Matt Guthman.
They have, they say, incriminating text messages in which he essentially confesses to the murder. They have an additional alleged confession, a note that he left under his keyboard and told his roommate slash romantic partner to go check out. And they have the family telling them that, yes, Tyler Robinson confessed to them, and that's why he turned himself in.
All eyes on the Federal Reserve at the conclusion of its two-day meeting today. It's expected to lower interest rates by at least a quarter point. This is